B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Tes. We're going to start 16 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Ches Omid Beis. And we're going to discuss a concept called Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis is actually a type of a Masechta. It's actually been written down. And it's a whole list of Yomim Tovim in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. There were many more Yomim Tovim than we have today. The question, and the halachas of those Yomim Tovim were that one was not allowed to fast on them. On some of them, one was not allowed to give hespedim, to give eulogies on those days. And we'll soon see later that it could be one wasn't allowed to fast the day before and the day after to make sure that those actual Yomim Tovim would be kept in the right way. And that's called Megillas Tainis. The question is, what happened to all those Yomim Tovim after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? Do we have to keep those Yomim Tovim today? Do we not? What's the story? So it's going to be a machlokes in the Gemara, machlokes Amiroim. Later we're going to see it's a machlokes Tanoim. Itmar, Rav v'Rav Chanina, they both held Omri, Botlo Megillas Tainis. Those Yomim Tovim in Megillas Tainis no longer apply. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shua ben Levi Omri, they argued and they said, Lo Botlo Megillas Tainis, and those Yomim Tovim still apply even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Rav Chanina Omri Botla Megillas Tainis. Now Rabbi and Rav Chanina are going to explain their stand. Why do they hold? What was the source? What would make them say that after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, those Yomim Tovim no longer need to be kept? Because Hachi Ka'omar, because we said regarding some other Yomim Tovim, that what were they? And this is a Gemara we learned earlier on in the Daf, in the previous Shir, that we saw that there was, the Pasuk says in Zechariah, that there's a Tzayim HaRavi, Tzayim HaChamishi, Tzayim HaShvi, Tzayim HaAsiri, Yiyye LeBeis Yehuda LeSosein LeSimcho LeMeyadim Tovim, VeEmes VeHasholim Ehovu. And what are they? They are Tzaymois. The Gemara says, it's a Tzayim, it's a fast day. And then it says in the Pasuk that they are going to be for joy and happiness. And the Gemara asked earlier on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, how can it be both? And the Gemara said that when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, they were indeed Yomim Tovim. After the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, then they were no longer Yomim Tovim, they become fast days. So you see that those Yomim Tovim, which we know as those four fast days, but they are Yomim Tovim in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. They are L'sasein U'L'simcha. And after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they are no longer a Yom Tov. Well, that would tell us that the same applies to all the Yomim Tovim in Maseches, in Megillas Tainis, that all of them are only applied in the time of the Beis HaMikdash and not after its destruction. Hachi Ka'omar, we saw before in the Gemara, Bizman Shiyeh Sholem, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when there was peace, Yiyu L'sasein U'L'simcha, they were Yomim Tovim, Ein Sholem, but after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, then there's no more that level of peace, Tzayim, then the Yomim Tovim are no longer Yomim Tovim, they become fast days. V'hanoch Nami, so too, says Rav and Rav Chanina, regarding all the Yomim Tovim in Megillas Tainis, I shouldn't say all, I should say almost all, we're going to soon see, Kihani, they are similar to those four mentioned, that only in the time of the Beis HaMikdash they Yomim Tovim, and afterwards not. So that's the explanation for Rav and Rav Chanina. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shua ben Levi Omri, they said, Lo Botla Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis still stands. We still have to keep them. Hani, they make a difference. They say there's no reason we shouldn't keep them. You've got a Pasuk that tells us that there are certain Yomim Tovim in the time of the Beis HaMikdash that after the destruction were no longer Yomim Tovim. Hani Huda Talinu Rachmonon Bebinyan Beis HaMikdash. Over there, it's apparent in Psukim elsewhere that they are only Yomim Tovim because you have the Beis HaMikdash. And after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they are no longer Yomim Tovim. Aval Hanoch, but all the others in Megillas Tainis, then Kedekai Mikaimi, they stand exactly as they were before, and the Yomim Tovim still apply. And now the Gemara is going to ask a list of questions. Mosiv Rav Kahana. And these are going to be questions against Rav and Rav Chanina. The Rav and Rav Chanina says that Megillas Tainis was in his battle. Well, let's see. Mosiv Rav Kahana. Maisa, there was an incident of a Gozru Tainis B'Chanukah, B'Lud. At one point in the place of Lud, the Chachomim decreed that there would be a fast day on Chanukah. Chanukah happens to be one of the days, one of the Yomim Tovim mentioned in Megillas Tainis. V'yorad Rabbi Eliezer v'rochatz. Rabbi Eliezer, he didn't accept the fast day. He went down to bathe. Rabbi Yeshua v'sipir Rabbi Yeshua, he had a haircut. And it's obviously clear from here that these were signs that they were not accepting the tainis on Chanukah. They said, no, we're not. You cannot make a fast day on Chanukah. We're not accepting it. V'omru lohem, and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua said to the people in the town that did fast on Chanukah, tzu'u v'his'anu al ma'aseis anisem. You have to do tshuva on the fact that you fasted on Chanukah, because Chanukah is a day which is mentioned in Megillas Tainis. You're not allowed to fast on those days. So you see clearly that even after the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua lived after the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and they said you have to keep Chanukah, which is one of the days in the Megillas Tainis, and this is contrary to what Rav and Rav Chanina said, that botla Megillas Tainis. Answers the Gemara Omer of Yosef, Shani Chanukah de'ikah mitzvah. Chanukah is different than all the others, because on Chanukah, besides for it being a Yom Tov in Megillas Tainis, there's also a mitzvah there to light the Chanukah candles. And since it's also a mitzvah, therefore it's not appropriate to be mevatlit. Omale Abaya says, well, according to Rav and Rav Chanina, v'tibotil ihi, v'tibotil mitzvosa. They would hold that if Megillas Tainis is bottle, Chanukah is bottle, and so too is the mitzvah of lighting the Chanukah candles. And if so, the question comes back. There is no Chanukah, there is no mitzvah, and therefore, why did Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua say that you have to do tshuva on the fact that you fasted? Ela Omer Rav Yosef said a different explanation why Chanukah is different. Shani Chanukah de Mefarasim Nisa. Because there was a mitzvah that was associated to Chanukah, of the lighting of the menorah, therefore everybody knew about the mitzvah, and everybody already accepted the Chanukah on themselves. And once you've accepted a Yom Tov, not just as a custom, but as something almost as strong and as firm as something written in the Torah, therefore it's inappropriate to be mevatel that Yom Tov called Chanukah, and therefore Chanukah is different to the other Yom Tov mentioned in Megillas Tainis, and even Rav and Rav Chanina would agree that Chanukah was not Nisbatel, even though the other Yom Tovim were. Says the Gemara, another question against Rav and Rav Chanina. Moisiv Rav Acha Bar Huna, Betlosa B'Tishri, on the 3rd of Tishri, Betelas Atcharto Minshtaraya. What's that mean? They were mevatel. They nullified the fact or this custom to mention Hashem's name on the documents. Shegozro, because at some point Gozro Malchus Yavon Gzeira, the Greek Malchus, they made a decree. Shelo lehazkir shem shamayim al piyam. You're not allowed to mention Hashem's name at all. Or Kashagovra Malchus Chashmonoi, when the Chashmonoim, when they defeated the Greeks, Vnotzchumen defeated them, Hiskinu, they made a decree, Sheyu Mazkirim Shem Shemayim, we're specially going to mention Hashem's name, Afilu Beshtoris, even on the documents, we're going to write Hashem's name. V'kach Oyu Koisvin, this is what they used to write, Bishnas Kach V'kach, when they would want to refer to which year the transaction, the document as it was taking place, then they would write, in the year such and such, Le Yechanan Kohen Gadol, from the times of Yechanan Kohen Gadol, Le Keil Elyon, mentioning Hashem's name. U'kashashomu Chachomim Medovar, when the Chachomim heard that they were writing Hashem's name on the document, Omru, they said, L'mochor zeh pereyaz choyvoy, tomorrow this document is going to be paid off, and it's no longer going to have any value, V'nimtso shtar mutil ba'ashpo, and this document is going to be in the garbage, it's going to be in the dustbin, it's going to be with Hashem's name in a place that's inappropriate. U'bitlum, and therefore on this day, the Chachomim says, we're no longer writing Hashem's name in the shtoris on the documents. V'oyse ayoyim, in that day, they were so not expecting to be able to be mevatel this custom that when they actually managed to nullify this custom, then it was regarded by them as a miracle. And therefore, v'asu Yom Tov, they made it into a Yom Tov. And when was that? Says, this is in Megillas Tainis, Betlosa B'Tishri, on the 3rd of Tishri. Now, we have to remember, what else was on the 3rd of Tishri? But before we get there, says the Gemara, V'yisal k'daitoch, if according to you and Rav and Rav Chanina, you hold that botla Megillas Tainis, that at the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Yomim Toivim that they used to have during the Beis HaMikdash no longer apply, kamaisa botel, all those earlier Yomim Toivim you've said no longer apply, achronaisa moisifin, and later the Chachomim are making new Yomim Toivim, this 3rd of Tishri, So it seems that they were not mevatel the Megillas Tainis. If so, it's a question against Rav and Rav Chanina. Answers the Gemara, Hocha b'mayoskinon, over there we were talking about Bizmancha Beis HaMikdash Kayim. The Beis HaMikdash was still around, was still standing, and since it was still standing, they had not yet been mevatel the Megillas Tainis. When Rav and Rav Chanina said they were mevatel Megillas Tainis, it's only much later at the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But at that point, it was not yet nizbatel. Asks the Gemara, V'tepik lei dehav le yoyim shenerag b'gedalyo b'nachikom. We have an interesting question here, that this third, the Gimel Tishri, what else do we know about Gimel Tishri? We know that it's what the Pasuk calls Tzayim HaShvi, that on the third of Tishri, the Gedalyo b'nachikom was killed. We learned about that on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, and they made it in after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, it was considered a fast day, but whilst the Beis HaMikdash was standing, it was considered a Yom Tov. It's one of the things that are mentioned in the Pasuk, L'sasein u'l'simcha u'l'moyadim tovim. So why do you have to make a Yom Tov on the third of Tishri? Because of the fact that they managed to stop this custom of writing Hashem's name, but it's in any case a Yom Tov on the third of Tishri, because it's the day that was later mourned, because Gedalia ben Achikam was killed then, but when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, it was a Yom Tov. Answers the Gemara, Omar Rav, Lo nitzrecha elo le'esur es shelefono. You're right. So the fact that the third of Tishri should be considered a Yom Tov whilst the Beis HaMikdash was still standing, that we didn't need the Chachomim to make this Yom Tov. In the Megillas Tainis, the Yom Tov that we mentioned of Betelas Adcharotom in Shtaraya. However, something that's unique to the Yomim Tovim mentioned in Megillas Tainis is the fact that it's also to fast even the day before it. So, Elo Leser Es Shelefonov, the Chachomim wanted that they shouldn't even fast the day before the third of Tishri, and just Tzayim Gedalia in its time when it was a Yom Tov, since it's not in Megillas Tainis, therefore they would only practice this Yom Tov just on the Tzayim Gedalia itself, on the Gimel Tishri, but the day before would not be a day with a partial Yom Tov, that they would not fast on that day. And they wanted that they should fast the day before on Beis Tishri. They wanted that they should not fast even the day before Gimel Tishri on Beis Tishri, and therefore the Chachamim made this extra Yom Tov in Megillas Tainis. Says the Gemara of Shelefonov, the day before Gimel Tishri is Beis Tishri. Nami, you want to make sure that they're going to not fast on Beis Tishri. Typically, the Havel Yoyim Shelachar Rosh Chodesh. We know that Rosh Chodesh is also called a Yom Tov, and the Yom Tov of Rosh Chodesh, which is Aleph Tishri, so Beis Tishri is the day after Rosh Chodesh, and the Yomim Tovim mentioned in Megillas Tainis, not only is one not allowed to fast on the day before those Yomim Tovim, but on the day after you're also not allowed to. And at this point, the Gemara assumes that there's no difference between Rosh Chodesh and those mentioned in Megillas Tainis. And therefore, they made the Yom Tov, and therefore the question is, why do I need a Yom Tov of a special Yom Tov because of the Shtoris on Gimel Tishri? Not the fact that the Gimel Tishri itself should be considered a Yom Tov, that's because it's a Tzayim HaShvi, what we call Tzayim Gedalia, which was a Yom Tov then. The day before it, in any case, you can't fast because it's the day after Rosh Chodesh, which is also a Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, no. Rosh Chodesh de'iraisa. Rosh Chodesh is a type of a Yom Tov. It's called a Moed min HaTorah. Since we don't need to strengthen the Yomim Tovim which are min HaTorah. And therefore, the day after Yom Tov min HaTorah and the day before Yom Tov min HaTorah, those days you are allowed to fast. It's only those Yomim Tovim which are midrabbanon, those mentioned in Megillas Tainis, in order to strengthen them and make sure that the Yom Tov itself doesn't get left out. Therefore, they said, don't fast the day before and the day after. So Beis Tishri, that as being the day after Rosh Chodesh, would not be a reason not to fast. And therefore the Chachomim made in Megillas Tainis Gimel Tishri to be a Yom Tov, in order that the day before Beis Tishri, they wouldn't fast. We'll soon see why being the day before Tzayim Gedalia, is, whilst the Yom Tov, is not enough reason not to fast. So, and the Tanya. Now the Gemara is going to bring proof that there's a difference between the Yomim Tovim mentioned in Megillas Tainis and Rosh Chodesh. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Hayomim ha'eile aksuvim b'megilas tainis. Those yomim tovim mentioned in Megillas Tainis, asurim, one's not allowed to fast on them, bein lefneim, bein lachareim, not the day before them and not the day after them. However, Shabbos is v'yomim tovim, heim asurim, one's not allowed to fast on Shabbos or Yom Tov, lefneim ulachareim, but the day before or the day after, mutarim one is allowed to. Ma heferish bein zeh lezeh, what would be the difference between the two? Halalu, Shabbos and Yom Tov, divrei Torah. Since they are called a moed min ha-Torah, if ain divrei Torah tzichim chizuk, one doesn't need to strengthen the moedim which are min ha-Torah. Halalu, but those yomim tovim in Megillas Tainis, divrei seifrim the only midrabanon, but divrei seifrim tzichim chizuk. Since it's not min ha-Torah, then one has to strengthen them to make sure that nobody should be mezalzel in them, and therefore one doesn't fast the day before and the day after. Says the Gemara, if the only reason that the Chachomim made a special Yom Tov on Gimel Tishri was in order that the day before on Beis Tishri they wouldn't fast, but typically, we just said that Gimel Tishri is also a Yom Tov. It's not Min HaTorah, it's not written in the Chumash, the Yom Tov of Tzayim Gedalia. It's written in Novi. But this Tzayim HaShvi, it should be similar to the Megillas Tainis, and the day before it should also be Asa to fast, and therefore the Chachomim didn't need to make a special Yom Tov. Omer Rav Ashi says that Gedalia ben Achikom divrei kabolahi, because the fast of Gedalia ben Achikom, the Tzayin HaShvi, it's not derabonon like the Megillas Tainis. It's mentioned in Tanakh, in Zechariah and other places. Since it's mentioned in Divrei Kabbalah, but Divrei Kabbalah could Divrei Torah dom, they do not need strengthening. And therefore, the day before the Yom Tov of Tzayim Gedalia would not be any Issa to fast on it. The Chachomim wanted it should also not fast on that day. Therefore, they turned the third of Tishri into a Yom Tov of Megillas Tainis. So that was the second question and the answer. And now the third and last question against Rav and Rav Chanina, Moshe Rav Tovi Bar Masna. It says in Megillas Tainis, Be'eshim v'tmanyo be on the 28th day of Adar, Acha am'osas b'surta tovsa le'yehudoi, very good news reached the Yidden. De'lo yidun me'iraisa, they do not need to stop learning Torah. She'gozo ha'malchus, because the Roman Empire, they made the Gezerah decree shelo yasku b'Torah, that they shouldn't learn Torah, v'shelo yomul v'espaneim, they should not circumcise their children, v'sheichalulu shabbosos, they were not allowed to keep Shabbos. Ma'aso Yehuda ben Shamua, what did Yehuda ben Shamua do to try and prevent this Gezerah? V'chaverov with his friends, holchu v'notlu eitzo mimatronisa achas, they went to this noble woman that shekol gedoyle roimi mutsuyin etzlo, that all the very prominent people in Rome, in the Roman Empire there, would come and be with her and maybe seek her advice. And she would know how we can get past this Gezerah. Omra lohem, so she said to Rabbi Yehuda ben Shamua to Yehuda ben Shamua and his friends, Boyu kam vehivginu balaylo, and you should cry out and shout out in the night time, begging that that these ministers that were making the decrees should have mercy on you. Holchu, they went to Evginu Balailo, and at night they cried out and they shouted that they didn't want these Gezeris and Omru, and they said, Eishomayim, in the name of Shomayim, in the name of Hashem, Loi Acheichem Anachnu, are we not brothers? Loi Bnei Av Echod Anachnu, are we not both sons of Yitzchok Avinu? Loi Bnei Eim Achas Anachnu, are we not the sons of Rivka Imenu? Klal Yisrael came from Yaakov, and Edom came from Esav. Ma nishtaninu mikol uma v'loshin? Why are we different to any other nation and language, any other country? She'atem goizvim aleinu gzeiris koshis, that you are making these harsh decrees against us. Ubitlum, and consequent to this cry, the Roman Empire had mercy on them, and they rubbed out, they stopped this decree. V'oyse ayoyim, in that day, the 28th of Adar, asu'u Yom Tov, they made it into a Yom Tov. And now the Gemara is saying, now it's Rav Tovi Bar Masna who's quoting all that, he's saying, V'yisal kudaitoch, if you Rav and Rav Chanina are right, that Megillas Tainis, that Botla Megillas Tainis, that after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh, they were no more kept the Yomim Tovim of the Megillas Tainis, kamaisa Botl, then the first Yomim Tovim, the earlier Yomim Tovim, they were Mevatl, achronaisim u'sifin, and later on you're adding on new yamim tovim. V'chitemen, are you going to suggest, similar to what we saw before, that halchanami bezman shebeis hamikdash kaim, it was talking about that it was a yom tov only whilst the beis hamikdash was standing? V'al Yehuda ben Shemua talmidei shel Rav Meir. Yehuda ben Shemua was a disciple of Rav Meir. V'Rav Meir basa achia, v'Rav Meir was after the churban of the beis hamikdash. And where do we know that Rabbi Yehuda ben Shemua and was a disciple of Rav Meir? Ditnan, we learned in a Mishnah, klei zchuchis, and this is a Mishnah is discussing the contrast between glass kelim and metal kelim. That since the tumah of glass kelim is only derabbanon, there are certain leniencies. A metal kelim are minatera, there are certain stringencies. So regarding glass kelim, shenikvu, that there was a hole in them, and they made a hole in them in order to, these glass kelim were tomei, and in order to take away the tumah, you have to destroy them. So you make a hole in them, and then v'hitif l'toichon ever, and then they put lead, they poured lead into the hole to then recreate the kli. Omer Shimon ben Gamliel, Shimon ben Gamliel said that Yehuda ben Shamua metami mishum Rav Meir, in the name of Rav Meir, Yehuda ben Shamua said that it's still got some level of tomei. The Chachomim Atarim and the Chachomim say that it's Tahir. And that just depends what way do we look at these Kalim. Do we look at them as being metal Kalim because now this utensil can only be used because of the lead, which is a metal that's been poured into the hole? Or is it still considered a glass Kli? Exactly which halachas this is referring to, is the Rashi's got two explanations. We don't need to go into it. But there are certain stringencies with metal kelim, and the question is, when you have a glass kli that's been fixed with metal, with lead, does it have the stringencies of metal kelim or the leniencies of glass kelim? And that was a machlekas between Rav Meir and the Chachomim. But who's quoting Rav Meir? His Talmud, Yehuda ben Shamua. So we see that Yehuda ben Shamua was after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, and nonetheless we see that the Yom Tov that was consequent to Yehuda ben Shamua v'Chaverov that caused that decree should be annulled, that it was a Yom Tov in Megillas Tainis. And according to Rav and Rav Chanina, Megillas Tainis no longer applied then. Says the Gemara, Tanoihi. In actual fact, the discussion whether the Megillas Tainis still applies or not is a machlekes tanoim. The Tanya, the Braisa says, Hayomim ho'elu aksuvim b'Megillas Tainis, those yomim toivim mentioned in Megillas Tainis, bein bizman she'beis hamikdash kaim, bein bizman she'ein beis hamikdash kaim, asurim divrei Rav Meir. All those halachas apply, the halachas of the Megillas Tainis, some of which we're going to see soon, later on, some we're going to see Maseches Tainis, but those halachas still apply even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's Reb Meir's opinion. Reb Yosi Omer, Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim Asurim Mipnei SheSimcha Hilohem. The time of the Beis HaMikdash, these are joyous times, the Yomim Tovim, and all the halachas apply. One's not allowed to fast, and some other halachas. Ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim. However, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Mutorim, then the halachas don't apply anymore, Mipnei SheEvel Hulohem, because they've become somewhat days of mourning. The Hilchasa and Halacha is Botlu. The Megillas Tainis became Botlu. The Hilchasa and Halacha is Loi Botlu. Megillas Tainis did not become Botlu. I don't understand. Two Halachas, there are a contradiction to each other. Kashi Hilchasa, Hilchasa. How can you have two Hilchasas, both being one contradiction to the other? Says the Gemara Loi Kashya. Kan b'Chanukah u'Purim. Chanukah and Purim, which are mentioned in the Megillas Tainis, everybody agrees, the halacha says that regarding Chanukah and Purim, loy batlu, those still have to be kept. Kan b'shar yoyma, but regarding the other yomim tovim in Maseches in Megillas Tainis, that they, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the halacha is that they are batlu. Continues the Gemara. Al elul mipnei Rosh Hashanah v'al tishri mipnei takonas hamoedos. This takes us back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah at the bottom of Yudches Amud Aleph was speaking about which months the messengers were sent from the Beis Din in Yerushalayim to all the places far away to tell them that which day was Rosh Chodesh. Was it on day 30 of the previous month? Was day 1 of the next month, which means the previous month only had 29 days? Or was it on day 31 and the previous month had 30 days? So we saw there that of the 6 months that these messengers would go out, one of them was Elul. And the reason it was important that the messengers should go out in Elul is because they knew that the 30th of Elul was going to be Rosh Hashanah. And people had to know when Rosh Hashanah was. And on Tishri they would go out Mipnei Takonas HaMoedes because of all the other Yomim Tovim within the month of Tishri, namely Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Says the Gemara, Kivin Dunofki Luhu Elul. Since the messengers already went out to tell people when Rosh Chodesh Elul was, and they knew that Rosh Hashanah was going to be on the 30th of Elul, so to speak. After 29 days of Elul, the next day was Rosh Hashanah. So if you know that the first of Tishri is the 30th day, so to speak, of Elul, then just work out when the other Yomim Tovim are. The 10th of Tishri is Yom Kippur, the 15th is Sukkot. At Tishri Lomalu, why do they have to go out and tell people when Rosh Chodesh Tishri was? V'chiteima, are you going to suggest Dilma Abrua Elul? Maybe the month of Elul, they became a 30-day month, and the first of Tishri is only on the 31st day, and people wouldn't know that. So when they practiced Rosh Hashanah, they assumed that Elul only had 29 days. But maybe Elul had 30 days, and people have to know that regarding Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Says the Gemara, no. V'omar of Chanina bar Kahana omarav, miyemois Ezra, from the time of Ezra v'eilach and on, loy motzinu Elul mu'ubar. It didn't ever happen that Elul had 30 days. And we can comfortably assume that Elul only has 29 days. Day 30 is the first of Tishri. Work out the dates of Tishri. I don't need the messengers to go out for Tishri. Says the Gemara, Loi Motzinu, the reason that we didn't find from the time of Ezra and on that Elul had 30 days, Dereitzrich, because it happened to be, according to the combinations and all the calculations which we're going to learn about later on, that they didn't need to make an extra day in Elul. Ha'itzrich, but in the event that they would need Elul to have an extra day, for reasons we're going to see later on, ma'abrinonli, then they would make Elul the extra day. So people had to know, is Elul got 29 days or has Elul got 30 days? Says the Gemara, ha'mikalkal Rosh Hashanah. But we can have an issue with that. If you're going to allow people on the Beis Din, if Beis Din can, should the need arise, to make Elul a 30-day month, and that's why on the 31st day is the 1st of Tishri, well, people don't know that, and they practiced Rosh Hashanah on the 1st of Tishri. Well, Mikalkal Rosh Hashanah, you've destroyed the Rosh Hashanah. Everybody was keeping Rosh Hashanah on the 30th of Elul, so to speak, and really the 1st of Tishri is not the 30th, it's the next day. Were they to make the month of Elul Mu'ubar, to give it the extra day? Says the Gemara, you're right, but Mutav Tikalkil Rosh Hashanah V'lo Yiskalkilu Kulu Moedos. In order to make sure that always Elul is only going to have 29 days, and then there'll never be an issue with Rosh Hashanah, and then what's going to happen with that? That's going to mean that even on a month where there should be 30 days in Elul, even when we have a reason to push off the month of Tishri by one day, we're not going to, in order not to destroy the Rosh Hashanah, that's not worth it. Rather, there should be an issue with one day with the Rosh Hashanah, but there shouldn't be an issue with all the other Yomim Tovim of Tishri. Because we're going to learn later that it's taking into account the Yomim Tovim of the Tishri, Yom Kippur and Sukkot, which is what would make us delay the month of Tishri by a day. And indeed, maybe Elul will become a 30-day month. And indeed, on Rosh Hashanah, people won't know that. And people will be keeping Rosh Hashanah on the wrong day. But at least Yom Kippur and Sukkot will be kept at the right times. Daikanami. And we can see this in the Mishnah also. Diktoni, we learned in the Mishnah, Al Tishri. Why did they go out on Tishri? Mipnei Takonas HaMoyadois. Was in order that it was, and these words, Mipnei Takonas HaMoyadois, was just in order that the other Yomim Tovim in the month of Tishri, Yom Kippur and Sukkot, should be fixed and should be in the best way possible. That's why they would send out the messengers on Tishri, because in the event that it was necessary for those other Yomim Tovim, they would then delay Tishri by a month and they would make the Elul have an extra day, Shema Mino. And that is how we are to understand this Mishnah. Continues the Gemara, that the Mishnah there at the bottom of Yudches Amud Beis said that another two of the months that the messengers would go out is Al Kislev Mipnei Chanukah V'Al Adar Mipnei Purim. Says the Gemara, V'ilu Nis'abra Hashanah. What happens if it's a leap year? Every so often, then also due to calculations, which we're not going into now, but because the month of Nisan had to be in the season of Aviv, therefore sometimes, and this is to do with the 11-day difference between the lunar year and the solar year, we don't need to discuss that now, but some years the Beis Din would decide at some point that the year would be a leap year. There would be an extra month, there would be a two Adars instead of one Adar. So v'ilu nis'abra Hashanah. What happens if there would be two Adars? Yoytzin af al Ador sheni mipneach Purim. That it would seem that when there's two Adars, which is the main Adar, the real Adar, is the second Adar. The extra month, the leap year, that means the additional month, the new month, is actually the first Adar that we've pushed in between Shavat and the real Adar, which is the second Adar. Which means all the mitzvahs of Purim you would keep in the second Adar. So what will be if the Beis Din would decide to make a second Adar? The messengers would have to go out in the second Adar to tell people when Purim is. But Lo Ikatoni Masnisin. But the Mishnah doesn't. Why doesn't the Mishnah say that? The Mishnah just says Al Adar. Seems it's just one Adar they would go out. Says the Gemara that Deloy Karebi, our Mishnah, the Masnisin Deloy Karebi, our Mishnah is not following Rebbe, and therefore we can understand why it wasn't necessary to go out on the second Adar. The Tani we learned in the Braisa Rebbe Omer, Im Nis Abra Shana, in the event that it became a leap year, Yoytzin Af Al Adar Sheni Mipnei Purim. Because Purim had to be kept in the second Adar, Rebbe said indeed the messengers would go out in the second Adar. And our Mishnah indeed is not like Rebbe. Now the Gemara is asking, what's behind the machlokes between our Mishnah that seems to be that you don't go out, the messengers didn't go out in the second Adar, and Rebbe says they did? Can we assume that this is what they're arguing about? The Marasovar, the Tanah of our Mishnah holds, Kol mitzvahs ha-noyagos b'sheni, noyagos b'rishon. All the mitzvahs of Purim that you can do, that would be done in the second Adar, can also be done in the first Adar. And since the messengers went out in the first Adar, let everybody keep Purim in the first Adar. It's not necessary to tell people exactly when Rosh Chodesh of the second Adar was. Umar Sova, but Rebbe holds no. Kol mitzvahs ha-noyagos b'sheni, ein noyagos b'rishon. The mitzvahs of Purim that apply to the Adar, the second Adar, cannot be done in the first Adar. And therefore, the messengers would have to go out in the second Adar. So the Gemara is asking, can it be that that is what they're arguing about? Whether the mitzvahs of Purim can be done in the first Adar, says the Gemara. Loi, that's not what they're arguing about. De kule alma mitzvahs ha-noyagos b'sheni, ein noyagos b'rishon. Everybody agrees that the Purim where the halachas are have to be done on the second Adar, not the first Adar. So what are they arguing about? Why wouldn't it be necessary? Why does our Mishnah not say that in the second Adar they would have to go out for Purim? V'hacha be'ibur shono kamiflegi. Here they're discussing the machlokes between the Tanah of our Mishnah and Rebbe is how long is the first Adar? The Tanya. We learned in the Braisa, Kamo Ibur Shono, the extra month, which is the first Adar. How long is it? So the Tanakhama says, Lamad Yoim, it's always 30 days. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Reb Shimon says, Chodesh, no, it's 29 days. And the Gemara assumes that our Mishnah that says that it's not necessary to send messengers in the second Adar is because you can always assume that the first Adar has 30 days. The messengers went out in the first Adar. We knew exactly when Rosh Chodesh Adar was. Count 30 days. The next day is Rosh Chodesh. The 31st day is Rosh Chodesh of the second Adar. And then you'll know exactly when Purim is. However, Rebbe says, no, the first month is not 30 days. And therefore, we need the messengers to go out and say when the Rosh Chodesh of the second Adar was. Ask the Gemara, I don't understand. The way we've just read the Gemara, it seems that it's either a definite 30 days in the first Adar or a definite 29 days, but there's no fluctuation. So whichever opinion you hold like, you can always work out when the next Adar is. Why do we need the messengers to go out? Maishno lamud de yodi, in the same way as you assume that our Mishnah says you don't need to go out for the second Adar because it's taken for granted that the first Adar is 30 days, then Chodesh Nami, Reb Shimon Gamliel, who says that it's 29 days, then also Yodi, they'll know, 29 days later, and day 30 is the first of Adar. Omar of Papa, no, you misunderstood. When Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said Chodesh, he didn't mean it's always 29 days. Manda Omar Chodesh, it means that Rotzo Chodesh, that if the Beis Din wanted, they could make the first Adar 29 days. Rotzo Shleishim, and if they wanted, they could make it 30 days. Since it was up to Beis Din to determine how many days Adar had, the first Adar had, indeed, according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, it was necessary to send out the Shlichim in the second Adar, and that's the opinion of Rebbe. Our Mishnah says no, that the first Adar always only has 30 days, means only, always has 30 days only, and can never have 29 days, and therefore there's no need to send out Shlichim in the second Adar. Continues the Gemara, some more opinions about the lengths of this first and second Adar. Hey, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Kaholo Kadisha, Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi testified in the name of the holy congregations in Yerushalayim, al shnei adorim, that a leap year where you have two adors, shemekachin oisam b'yoyim iburehem, that it's on day 30 is always the first of the next month, which means the 30th day of the first ador is the first of the second ador, and the 30th day of the second ador is the first of Nisan, which means that both adors are always only exactly 29 days. Lememra, which means the chaserim of Dinon, Maleim Loy of Dinon, which means that according to these congregations in Yerushalayim, the two Adars are always chosar, they're always lacking, so to speak. It's always a shorter month, it's the 29-day month and not a 30-day month. And Lafuke Midadorash of Nachman Bar Chizda, and in contrast to what Rav Nachman Bar Chizda said, that Heyed Rav Simoyi Mishum Chagai Zechariah Malochi, Rav Simoyi testified that Chagai Zechariah Malochi, they said al shnei adorim, when you have a leap year with two adors, she'im rotzu la'asoysam shnei meleim oisin, if you want to make them both 30 days, you can. Shneim chaserim, you want them both to be 29 days, oisin, you can. Echod mole ve'echod chosar, oisin, if Beis Din decide that one of them should be 29, one should be 30, that's also okay. V'kacho yinoegin b'goylo, and that is exactly what they used to do in Pumpadisa in Chutz Laretz. Or Mishum Rabbeinu Amru, and it's said in the name of Rav, that La'olam, always we have to assume, means when you know there's a leap year, and this, the Mefarshim may discuss, that everything we're discussing here is all, seems to be a discussion how long the first or second Adar is, and whether we need messengers to tell us when each Adar started, but it seems that the very fact that it's a leap year is something that they knew somehow. And Tosfos here discusses that, but the Gemara doesn't make direct mention of it, so I'm not making mention, but it's something which it's very clear in the Gemara that they must know that it's a leap year, and they just need to know when the Adar starts and finishes. But Rav says that you always have to assume on a leap year that Echod Mole, that the first Adar is 30 days, Ve'echod Chosar, and the second one is 29 days. Achi Vodalacho, until the messengers come from Eretz Yisrael to confirm and to let you know, Shehukvar Rosh Chodesh Bizmanoi, that indeed Rosh Chodesh was fixed in appropriate time, namely that the first Adar was a 29-day month, and the 30th day is already the first of the second Adar. Continues the Gemara, Sholchu lei lemar Ukva. They sent to Mar Ukva, who was the head of the Beis Din in Bovel, that Adar hasamuch leNisan, the second Adar leOilam Chosar, is always a 29-day month. The 30th day is the first of Nisan. Moser Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman asked against this from a Mishnah. We're going to learn about this Mishnah later on Daf Chof Aleph, that al shnei chadoshim mechalalin es haShabbos. When witnesses come and they're on their way, they to say, we saw the new moon on day 30, which means day 30 is the first of the next month, and the previous month only has 29 days, that when the witnesses see that, they're allowed to even override Shabbos, to go out of the Tchum, to come to the Beis Din in Yerushalayim, and to testify in order that they can make the correct day, that day, that Shabbos, the 30th day of the previous month, they could make it Rosh Chodesh. And which 2 months were they allowed to desecrate the Shabbos with the Tchum in order to testify? Al Nisan v'al Tishri. On the 2 months of Nisan and Tishri, because all the Yomim Tovim are dependent on them, and we assume at this point in time that the correct start of every month is dependent on the witnesses, and since the witnesses saw it on Shabbos, the 30th of the previous month, it's incumbent upon them even to override Shabbos to come and tell the Beis Din today is the Rosh Chodesh, and it will have an effect on the Yomim Tovim of Tishri and Nisan, which is Yom Kippur, Sukkos, and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, and Pesach. Says the Gemara, I Omras Bishleima, if you're going to assume that Zimnin Moli, Zimnin Chosar, that sometimes the month of Adar is Moli, has 30 days, and sometimes has 29 days, Bisham Hocha Mechalalinon, then I can understand that since it's very important for Beis Din to make sure that the Rosh Chodesh is on the right day, and if these two witnesses saw the moon on day 30, which means the previous month is going to be a Chosar, they have to come and they have to tell Beis Din. It's very important, which means Nisan, which is the end of Adar, since Adar could be 29-day month, could be a 30-day month, then the Edom have to come, even on Shabbos, to tell the Beis Din which day is, how long Adar actually is. But according to the opinions that Adar is always only a 29-day month, then whichever way you hold it, irrespective of what the Edim say or don't say, day 30 is always the day that Beis Din will Mekadesh the Chodesh with or without Edim. Amai Mechalalinon? Why do you have to break Shabbos in order to tell them that Rosh Chodesh is on day 30? Even if you don't come, they're going to do that because always it's Chosar. That was the question that they asked, that Rav Nachman asked, against what they shalchu leile Mar Ukva. Because Mar Ukva said that the Adar close to Nisan is always Chosar. If so, why do I need to be Mechal Shabbos to tell them when Rosh Chodesh Nisan is? Answers the Gemara, Mishum de mitzvah lekadesh al ha-re'iyah. Because it's a mitzvah. It's not about the reason that the Edom, it's not like we thought at the beginning, the Edom have to come because Beis Din have to know when Rosh Chodesh is. No, they know when Rosh Chodesh is. But there's a mitzvah that the Kiddush HaChodesh should be done consequent to testimony of Edom. And since there is such a mitzvah, therefore, they can be Mechal Shabbos to do this mitzvah. And later in the Gemara, we're going to see why would this only apply to those 2 months? Really, it should apply to all, if the reason that Edom have to be Mechal Shabbos is because you have to know when Rosh Chodesh is because of the Yomim Tovim in it. The only time you have Yomim Tovim is Nisan and Tishri. But if there's a mitzvah to every month to be Mekadosh al pi Edom, they should break Shabbos every month. Whenever the 30th day of the previous month is Shabbos and the Edom come, they should always be Mechal Shabbos and come from outside the Tchum. Why is it only these 2 months, as we saw in the Mishnah there? Then Gemara is going to discuss that soon. Ikka de Omra. There's another opinion, another way of looking at it. Omra of Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Af anan nami tanina. That means not Rav Nachman wasn't asking a question against Mar Ukva, that Mar Ukva, they said to Mar Ukva that the Adar close to Nisan is always a 29-day month, and Rosh Chodesh Nisan is always on day 30. Rav Nachman was now bringing proof from a Mishnah to that opinion. Al shnei chadoshim mechalalim nesa Shabbos. 2 months a year, we mechal Shabbos, the Edom are mechal Shabbos to come to testify. Al Nisan v'al Tishri. So Iyam was bishleim le'olam chosar. If it's true what we said, that the 29th of Adar is that the 30th of Adar is always Rosh Chodesh Nisan, mishum hocha mechalalinon, then I can understand why they have to be mechal Shabbos, because mitzvah lekadesh al ha-re'iyah. Because there's a mitzvah, an independent mitzvah, that the Kiddush HaChodesh should be done with the Edim. Eloi Omros, but if you're going to say Zimnin Moli, Zimnin Chosar, that sometimes Adar has 29 days, sometimes it has 30 days, Amai Mechalalinon. So what's the necessity if the only reason they're coming is because to determine when Rosh Chodesh is, not because there's a mitzvah that whenever it is, it should be done with Edim, but to determine when it is, what's the difference? Then amai mechalalin? Why should they be mechal Shabbos? Na'abre ha'idna. Then unikat she'le mochor. Maximum is, don't be mechal Shabbos. The Edom will turn up on Sunday the next day, on day 31 of the previous month, and the next day will be Rosh Chodesh. Whenever Beis Din make Rosh Chodesh, that's when Rosh Chodesh is. Why would it be necessary to be mechal Shabbos? So it must be that the reason that you're mechal Shabbos is not because we have to know when Rosh Chodesh is, because there's a mitzvah. And there's a mitzvah that whenever you make the Rosh Chodesh, it should be by Edom. Says the Gemara, Id ikla yom shloishim b'shabbos, hochanami. You're right, that if day 30 is on Shabbos. That means that the previous month had the 29 days, and day 30 is now the Edim want to come on Shabbos and testify, then I can understand that what your proof is, that there's no necessity for the Edim to come, because maximum is you'll make the Rosh Chodesh on the next day, on day 31, that's okay. But hocha b'mayoskin on de'ikla yom shleishim ve'echad b'Shabbos. But what happens when the Shabbos is not on day 30? The Shabbos is on day 31. There were no witnesses on day 30. Rosh Chodesh is going to have to be on day 31. And the question is over there, are the Edim allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? The Mishnah says the Edim are Mechal Shabbos. Why should they be Mechal Shabbos? Because in any case, day 31 is going to become Rosh Chodesh. You've got no choice. Because day 30 is past. It's now Shabbos on day 31. So why should there be Mechal Shabbos? Let Beis Din make it Rosh Chodesh in any case. Make it on that day without the Edim. If day 31 is on Shabbos, it must be the mitzvah lekadesh al ha'ri'ah. It must be that from this Mishnah we have a proof that there is a mitzvah to be mekadesh according to the ri'ah, which is the same conclusion as the Gemara said in the first version of Rav Nachman, that at the end of the day, whichever way you hold this Mishnah, it must be that besides for determining which day is Rosh Chodesh, there's an added mitzvah to make sure that you're Mekadosh the Chodesh. Whenever you're Mekadosh it should be Al-Pi Edim. Mosi Rav Kahana. And now Rav Kahana is asking a question that in the continuation of that Mishnah that we're going to see later on, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, the Mishnah started with what we saw before, that Ador HaSomach L'Nisan Lo'ilam Chosar. What does it say later on in the Mishnah? K'shamigdosh Kayam, when the time of the Beis HaMigdosh, Mechalin Af Al Kulon. And then in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, then the Edim would be Mechal Shabbos on all the months of the year. Mepnei Takonas HaKorban. And the reason is because in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, on Rosh Chodesh, you had to bring a Korban Musaf. You wanted to make sure that the Korban Musaf was brought on the right day. And the real day for Rosh Chodesh is the day that the Edim saw the new moon. And therefore, you had to be Mechal Shabbos any time to come and make sure that in the event that the Rosh Chodesh is on the day 30, that Beis Din would know about it. Says the Gemara, Midu kulu lav mishum d'mitzvah lekadish al ha'ri'ah. From the very fact that the reason that you could be Mechal Shabbos for all the months is not because there's a mitzvah to be Mekadish al pi ra'ia. Because if there was, we could have understood that since there's a mitzvah, that whenever you make the Rosh Chodesh, it has to be with Edim, as we saw before. If so, that would have been enough reason to be Mechal Shabbos on all the months. And since that's not the reason to be Mechal Shabbos on all the months, so you see that there's no mitzvah lekadish al ha'ri'ah. That's not reason to be Mechal Shabbos. And the only reason to be Mechal Shabbos is to tell us when the Rosh Chodesh is, when we have to know, and it's important to know when the Rosh Chodesh is. Then Nisan v'Tishri nami lav mishum d'mitzvah lekadish al ha'ri'ah. If so, that when the Mishnah said earlier on that even when there's no Beis HaMikdash and there's no Korban Musaf, you still have to be Mechal Shabbos to testify in these 2 months, Nisan and Tishri, because of the Yomim Tovim there, it's not because Mitzvah Lekadish Al Ha'ri'ah. If it's not because of Mitzvah Lekadish Al Ha'ri'ah, then all our questions come back. So, Iyomris Bishloima, Zimnin Moli, Zimnin Chosar Mishum Hocha Mechalelinon. If the reason that the Edim are Mechal Shabbos is not because there's a mitzvah that whenever you Mekadish the Chodesh, then that it should be with Edim. No. So it must be that the reason that you're Mechal Shabbos is because it's very important for Beis Din to make the Rosh Chodesh on the day that the Edim see it. If so, that's only necessary when in any case the testimony of the Edim make a difference. But in the event that in any case it's been predetermined which day would be Rosh Chodesh, I don't need the Edim to tell me when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. Why should they be Mechal Shabbos? So Iyomris, of course, we're back to the question we said at the beginning. Elo Iyomris la'olam chosar. So Iyomris bishloima. If you say zimlin moli, zimlin chosar, that sometimes Adar is 29 days, sometimes it's 30 days. Mishum hocha mechalelinon. I can understand that for the month of Nisan, the Edim have to come to tell Beis Din whether Adar is 29 days or 30 days. Elo Iyomris la'olam chosar. But if you say, as we saw at the beginning, that Whichever way you hold it, that Adar is only ever going to have 29 days, and irrespective of whether there is or isn't Edim, day 30 is going to be Rosh Chodesh. Amai mechalelinon? Why should there be Mechal Shabbos to come? In any case, even without you. You're going to say it's a mitzvah? No, we've determined that there's no such thing that be Mechal Shabbos because there's a mitzvah that whenever you make Rosh Chodesh, it should be with Edim. No, the only time you'd be Mechal Shabbos is when you can determine when Rosh Chodesh is. Here the Edim are not determining when Rosh Chodesh is. The Rosh Chodesh is always going to be on day 30. Says the Gemara, indeed, Tiyufta, is that that opinion has been refuted, and it cannot be that we take for granted that the Adar close to Nisan is always Chosar. That cannot be. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.